This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
The following program contains content of a sexual nature and coarse language. Listener discretion is advised. Touch your microphones. It is not Moist Mondays, everybody. It is Wild Wet Wednesdays here on Joy 94.9. I have burst into the studios after 2 years off air, stolen the studio from the Hide and Seek Boys. I am filling their holes tonight here. Sammy has returned here just for a very special International Women's Day show tonight. Thank you so much to Chicks Talking Footy here. It is amazing to hear not only Chicks Talking Footy, but great to see the AFL Women's doing so amazing this year. Unfortunately, my Pies aren't doing all that well, but my darling wife's Bears are doing fantastic this year. So go the Women's Footy. Now, I am so very, very, very excited this evening because for my International Women's Day show this evening, I am joined in the studio by two absolutely amazing and inspiring women. The first woman who I am going to introduce to you this evening is someone who is not unusual to be heard on air here at Joy 94.9. She is someone who is incredibly special to me. She is my leather sister, someone who is very dear to my heart. She is a queer women's erotic writer. She is the owner of LaBouche Books. She is a publisher. Kale Joy, welcome back to Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Sammy. It's always good to be here.
How was that for a fanfare for you?
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Now, joining you in the studio with us this evening, you've brought in an amazing woman who you have been chasing down for quite some time, and clearly she didn't run quite fast enough because you've actually managed to catch her and bring her in. And we're so very excited because she has brought in with her a book that she has published. And she's been working on for quite a while. It is what one might call a little bit of her life's work. She is someone who has written a book that we are so very excited about. She is a sex educator, an award-winning sex journalist, a sex worker, a sex podcaster. This woman has done so much work. It is extraordinary. This book is so poignant. It is one of the most significant books since Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. The book is A Teen's Guide to Getting Off. Eva Sliss, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Wow. Thanks, Sammy.
I'm exhausted just reading all of that out. How do you fit that in and maintain the very busy life that you have as well?
You know, it's tricky because it sounds really full and interesting and exciting and like I'm, you know, constantly busy. And I'm actually not, so...
No, don't lie. We know better. We do know better.
I suppose I just... Because I am so passionate about my work and it's also my life, it's actually quite easy to sort of fit it all in because I'm doing it anyway. I'd be doing it because I do it, so... someone wants to pay me or hear my words or bring me on a show or anything like that, then that's great because I'd be doing it anyway. So, yeah, that's probably how I fit it in.
Now, don't forget, at any time you can get in contact with us. You can SMS 0427JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. And there may be someone out there to give us, to pick up the phone on 1300JOY949. I believe Jeffrey may be in the building giving us a little bit of honour out there this evening too. So come on and give us some love because it's been a little while since you've heard my voice on the airwaves and I'd love to hear what you've been up to as well since the wet spot was last here. Now, International Women's Day is a very, very special day, which we love to talk about how important different lives of different women are. And something that has always been very, very special for me is being able to talk about the lives of supporting women in their sex and sexuality. And something for you especially, KL, is, you know, being able to be a queer writer, you know, it has been, you know, something that has taken you a while to sort of, you know, be able to put that out there, you know, and get that, you know, moving forward.
Yeah. I started publishing my own stuff because there were very few publishers who kind of wanted to know anything about me as a queer writer. And when I did find a publisher, I found that they completely misread me. So that actually led me to start La Bush Books as a company because, and our premise is that you have to be a kinky, queer, alternative writer to be in our stable. Or in our house, we'll call it. I think that might be nicer. Stable's good though. So yeah, it's kind of why we started La Bush Books is because the kinky queer aspect of who I am as a person comes through in all of my writing.
Do you think that having that basis and that knowledge within yourself as well has made that given you that better basis as a publisher? So then when you do have writers coming with that with that knowledge to you, that you're able to sort of look at their work and be able to sort of work with it better?
Oh, absolutely. Looking at Eva's work and in particular knowing her journey of getting knockbacks from mainstream publishers and not being able to get it out there because it was, and I'm going to use air quotes here on air, too niche. But that's what we do really well. We do the niche market really well. And it was just so, it would sit so well within our stable house that I went, I had to have this book. You know that, Eva.
I know.
We just got a message handed to us from 1300JOY949, Andrea from Coburg. This is the Andrea that I think it is. It's absolutely awesome to hear from you, Andrea. She said, absolutely fabulous. Love to hear your voice on air again on Joy Sammy. So that's really lovely to hear from you. So, yeah, give us some love on 1300JOY949, on air at joy.org.au or SMS on 0427JOY949. If you have a question for KL Joy on how to get started on being a queer or kinky writer, or even for Eva about what the process is that she went through on getting this book started. Now, for you, Eva, you know, once you've sort of started the thinking process for you for this book, where did you sort of, you know, start to go from there of taking from your own life experiences, taking it from there to the next step?
Look, that was actually really easy because I was already writing about that sort of stuff anyway. The difference was the stuff that I was writing and the education that I was giving was for older women. So it was all this sort of information for people in their sort of, you know, anyone from, well, any women, but sort of most of the people that would come along to our workshops and read the stuff that I do, sort of 35 and upwards. And almost
at the time you were writing for Penthouse and People magazine.
So I was working as a freelancer for a lot of those magazines, and I had a column in Adult Matchmaker, which I still do, which is like sort of every, you know, it's like a sex column, sex positivity, all that sort of stuff. And I was writing for, there's a young women's magazine called Birdie Magazine, which doesn't exist anymore, which is really sad. It was sort of like, kind of like Dolly Magazine, but a little bit more feminist, a little bit more political, online, really great sort of stuff. But that's, since closed, just online media does. And yeah, I think I just sort of took the tack of writing it for a different perspective for younger people. The same information, just slightly more easy language and a slightly more age-appropriate kind of approach to it. But it wasn't hard to write in that sense.
Because one of the things I think that you do find is, and we spoke about this at the book launch. We launched your book last week at Hares and Hyenas, and we are very, very lucky here in Melbourne to have, you know, the only bookshop really in Australia, a queer bookshop in Australia, and it's such a great loss to know that, you know, resources are dying out. And having, when we were launching the book last week, we were talking about how there is such little resources available. Every time we talk about puberty, that everything for boys is all about sex. So it's about masturbation, and it's about not getting girls pregnant, and it's about sex, and it's about pleasure. But with girls, it's very medical, and it's about how to put in a tampon, how to put on a pad, how to don't wear white pants.
Get pregnant.
Yeah, and well, yeah, even if that, and it's like, you know, be careful, you can't go swimming when you've got your period. Well, it was different when I was growing up. Well, I'm sort of, you know, feeling a little bit old at the moment, but you know, it's like, you know, we have it tended to be a little bit medical, but you know, I think it's changing a lot now. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Joy 94.9.
It's Penny Wong. It's great to be here on Joy 94.9 with Sammy.
You are on Joy 94.9, and every time I hear Penny's voice, sorry, I just have to just hit shiver. That was actually from a show I did back in 2013, an International Women's Day show. I was very privileged to speak to, I think, about 12 or 13 of Australia's most wonderful women. So yeah, it was really lovely. We have some messages through on 0427 Joy 949. Sue and Jen says, great to have you back on air, Sammy. We have also got another message saying, you guys sound great. And also says, from Tennille, who says, great to have you back on air again, sitting here with a balcony full of women celebrating International Women's Day, listening to women talking about women. Amazing. That's from our boss. It's even better. It just makes their hairs all stand up on the back of my neck. Thank you, Tennille. She has worked really long and hard to get me back on air. So, yeah, a lot of petitioning. Yeah, thank you. That's a great word, Sissy. I was looking for that. So just before we were listening to some amazing community messages, we were sort of talking about the differences in the way that puberty is presented between boys and girls as they were growing up, Eva. And that's one thing that I love the way that you've presented in your book is a really fresh and very well presented way for the girls to actually have, and it is very informative, it is very open, and it is very wonderful to see that girls can actually open this book and they can say, you know, this is the, you know, the way that we, you know, things are actually really happening, and they can find out information. They don't have to, you know, delve into the depths of the internet and, you know, click on 20 things that they don't want to see.
I think the one thing I really wanted to do with this book was be honest. You know, there are so many of, and not so much these days, I admit, but when we were growing up at school, a lot of the books on puberty and period always talked about this awakening of womanhood and the beauty of your period and all this kind of flowery bullshit talk.
What's beautiful about it? I mean,
exactly.
Get serious. It sucks.
It absolutely does. Bleeding out of your vagina every month for the rest of your life once you turn 15 is not nice,
no.
Or however old you turn, but you know what I mean? It's not pleasant.
No,
and
no,
the
really.
Mood swings that come with all that, as well as the mood swings of puberty. I mean, that's completely different to the mood swings of, you know, ovulation and menstruation and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and then you've got your growth spurts, and then your face is breaking. I mean, puberty is a horrible, horrible time.
Yeah.
And so for people to kind of cotton wool it and make it seem like it's this really exciting, positive, you know. I mean, it's great. It is great in a way, and you're changing, you're growing, you're becoming an adult, and all that stuff is great. But the actual process to get there is pretty nasty. It's gross. And you know, it's full of zits and blood and all that sort of stuff. So why not say that? So, look, it's going to be a bit shit and it's going to feel a bit weird. You'll get through it, though, and the rewards are really good. But this is what's happening. And I don't want to sugarcoat anything, because they're going to find out that it's all crap when they get there. So,
yeah, teens have a bit of a bullshit meter.
Yeah, they do, don't
and
they?
And this really creates, like, this book has created it in the straightest talk possible. You just get the message across in the easiest way.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that very early on, that when you were telling me about this book, I remember when I was, quite a while ago, when this book was first going into production, and
the Carol process was, of coming
the
into
process
being.
Of yeah, it was coming birthing. To be the birthing.
It was a long, long birthing process. It was
a lot longer than an actual pregnancy.
The puberty of this book,
yes.
And you know, and Kayla was always telling me about all the different stages of the book, and you know, and she would go, oh, and you know, this and you know, and being able to say that, you know, it's raw and it's real, and the fact that, you know, it actually talks about it like it is, and that's one of the things that stuck with me is you know, because I have a, you know, like, you know, I have a teenager, you know, he is a teenage boy. But it's one thing that the three of us have in common is we're raising kids in a sex positive household. They are at different ages, but they are being raised in a sex positive household. So it's something that's not done often in parenting, even today. However, it is something that that we do talk about a lot.
Yeah.
However, it's something that, you know, it was very noticeable that you were telling me very early on about this book, because teenagers do have this inbuilt bullshit meter. And it's like, if they pick up a book like this, and in today's society, and again, I just felt really old saying that.
is this where we're supposed to jump in and say, oh, no, but you're not.
No, because you have a year on me, so you can't do that.
Yeah, true.
she's laughing because we're older than both of her.
not really by
happy
much.
40th, by the way.
Thank you.
But the thing is, though, they can find anything at one click.
That's right.
We want them to read a book. And, I mean, yes, you can buy it online which, you know, is a very viable resource. And it doesn't really matter how they're reading it. It's the fact that they're reading it. But you want to be able to get their attention long enough that they are going to be able to read it. And it's getting past that bullshit meter. Yeah. And it's getting past the fact that they'll sit there and read it.
But I think it's very similar to, I remember Bill Hicks doing a speech on, you know, a talk on drugs and stuff, and talking about the fact that, you know, we tell people all the time that, you know, don't take drugs, they're going to kill you, they're bad, they're awful and that, but when you take them, you have a really great time. So you don't believe that stuff. In the end, everything just becomes sort of a lie about it. And it's the same with sex. When we talk about sex, we talk about, you know, you're going to get sick and you're going to, you know, it's going to, all the bad stuff that happens with sex. And then you go out and you have sex and you actually really enjoy it. And you think, well, that's all bullshit. Maybe everything else is bullshit. But you're not given any information on how to, you know, do it.
But I think as women, particularly as teenage women, we are used to being fed that rhetoric. So growing up, you know, even now, you know, by the elders, is if you still, you know, treat our teenage girls like mushrooms.
Well, basically,
From one level to another,
girls are raised as in the idea that sex is something that happens to them.
Exactly.
It's not something they do or they indulge or they enjoy. It happens to them. They are fucked or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to change, is that sex is about the two people or three, whatever, who are having sex equally, and it's not something that is done to you, that you give to someone, that you know, it's something that you enjoy and you create yourself. And so that sort of something that I try and get that message across without being super explicit about it in that sort of, you know, linear way. It is
the thing that is very polar different about this book in comparison to most other books. You know, there isn't a lot of books like this on the market for starters. But the thing that's polar different about this book than any other book like this on the market is a very, very raw and honest LGBTIQ section in it. You've done it from a section saying, I did not grow up as a queer kid. I'm writing it from a I have spoken to queer kids. I'm doing it from their perspective. I am not a trans kid. I don't, you know. So, and you're doing it from a. You don't have to be a queer kid to buy this book, but if you have, if you're growing up and you have queer friends, this will give you a little bit of an insight because you can be, you will have a little bit of an insight of some of the things that they're going through coming out. So it is still a very great section because it does go through a lot of the ideals of what, and it's got a really great section of some of the thought processes, some of the support networks, and also where the kids are actually, you know, coming from. So not only being a queer kid, but also growing, but also going to school with queer kids. And that's a bit that I was really impressed by.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, it's the same way that in sort of in the sort of beginning of the book, I talk about the fact that this is for cis girls, heterosexual, queer, you know, I've lost the word.
LGBTIQ.
LGBTIQ, yeah. Like it is, but for cis girls, and that sort of the body stuff in the sense of puberty and what's going to happen and all that is all very similar. It doesn't matter if you're going to have sex with women later or have sex with men later or have sex with no one later, the way your body is working is going to be kind of along the same lines. But sex itself is very different depending on where you identify and all that sort of stuff. But with the little queer section that I put in there, I just really wanted to sort of just... This book, just because it's about sex, and most of the sex that I talk about in it is heterosexual insofar as because it's easier, because I want to talk about boys as well in there. And so when you talk about penises and all that sort of stuff, you may as well put them together. And then, but I think the, that came out so bad. but I think the main thing is I just wanted these girls to know that, you know, it is all normal and it's all on a scale. And no matter if you are queer or you are straight or you have queer friends, that there is a resource there that's going to show you who you can talk to, where you can go and how you can talk to your friends and come out to your friends or what if someone comes out to you. I mean, you can't have one side of this without the other. I can't have this book without one soon coming for boys and one coming for trans kids. You can't teach one side of the lesson.
But it's not just about sex. I mean, it, you know, it is about the changes that your body goes through at puberty. It is about so much more. It's not just about fucking.
No.
So if you take that out of it, you're only taking part of the book out. So, you know, the teen girl's guide to getting off is not just about the fucking part.
No, well, it's about the pleasure.
It's about pleasure part. So you know, when we come back from the messages that we'll be listening to shortly, and one of my favourite songs in the world, we will also talk about one of our favourite topics, which of course, you know, who does not like talking about masturbation, and who does not like saying masturbation?
Who does not like masturbating?
And well, there's that.
You've got no qualms here.
No, those three weird men in the studio going, hello.
We're queer, we masturbate, that's okay.
we're queer. And, you know, there's so many different terms for it. And that's one of the things that I also like in the book is there is, and, you know, like women have always been put, and, you know, we have a bit of a laugh when I say this, are put in a box when it comes to masturbation about they're only allowed to use certain terms because most of the terms when it comes to masturbation are male-orientated. Mm, mm. God forbid if a woman says, I'm going to have a wank.
Mm. Yes.
Because all of a sudden everyone goes,
you can't say boys wank.
Boys do that. You know, like there's so many dykes I know that that's the term that they use. So.
Well, I use it. I've always sort of used wank as a term because that's what
it is. It's so hot.
And I don't think I ever associated wank with a penis because it was just another term for masturbation as such. So. Mm. I don't know. Yeah, I always just said wank as masturbation. It was like just a general word.
It's hot.
It's like fuck for having sex. It's not gender specific or whatever.
No, it's
not. Yeah.
Mm.
Connecting, representing, celebrating. Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9 in the wet spot. It is wild, wicked wet Wednesdays here. You know, you girls, you're just totally fucking perfect to me. You're here with KL Joy and Eva Sless, and we are celebrating International Women's Day 2017. Yay, women. Be bold for change.
Yes.
Hashtag. What is that? Oh, my God. So I'm just going to do something. I'm going to just totally talk about something totally, like, ridiculous. So I watch reality TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just had to do that hashtag thing. Those stupid, silly, silly people that do the hashtag thing on the cooking show. Hashtag.
So it's everything. Like air quotes of the 80s is now hashtag of the right.
Yeah, no, totally.
I've not
that.
Seen that.
Neither have I.
No. I'll anyway. Start saying it ironically soon, like totes, and then it will take over my vocabulary and I'll be like hashtag totes everywhere. And it's embarrassing.
You're so on point with the teens of the day, aren't you?
Oh, my God. Thankfully, you are so on point with teens of today with this amazing book that you have just written. How is that for a segue?
Oh, beautiful segue.
Teens right. Girl's Guide to Getting Off, published by LaBouche Books, which is why we have these amazing women in the studio tonight on International Women's Day. Now, the reason that I love this book so much is growing up, there was pretty much nothing for us to sort of look at. There was, you know, you'd steal somebody's copy of A Joy of Sex. Mm-hmm. There was pretty much no information. You would, if you were lucky enough to have someone's big sister saying, go and get the mirror and have a look while you were having a wee, and the wee comes out of one hole and the tampon goes in the other hole. You know, you weren't pretty much going to learn anything about anything. So you have a fantastic chapter in the book called The Big V. Now, one of the things that has been, I suppose I will call it a little bit of a bugbear to me as part of my push for my part of feminism in women's sexuality is this losing it, that we are less than when we fuck for the first time. Mm. And, of course, but particularly for queer women, you know, when you are having sex with a woman for the first time, if it's not penis into vagina sex for the first time, you know, like all of a sudden you are less than, you know, you're not a virgin, or you are not actually having sex, or, you know, this whole ridiculous construct around this patriarchal society that's made up. So
yeah, it's completely made up. Like it just made it.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
So, and I really love that you actually really delve into this, and you know, it's called losing it.
Yes, losing it. The big V. Well, I just think the whole idea of virginity, it bothers me a lot because there's nothing to it but control. There's nothing to it except to say to one particular gender, there's something wrong with you, or there's something less about you, or there's something bad or dirty or wrong, when exactly the same thing to the opposite gender is, oh, you're a hero, you're a man, you're a stud, score the chicks, you know.
Notch on the bedpost type thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you've got almost an entire movie genre set up about boys getting laid for the first time. You know, you have Revenge of the Nerds, American Pie. Like, it, almost any high school American movie, the boys are trying to have sex or trying to find someone to have sex with. And the girls are, you know, these sort of receptacles.
They're
having
an
sex,
object,
sex,
yeah.
Sex is something that happens to you, all that. And they're usually, you know, the slut.
Lay back, the whore, get the Vaseline out. Puberty blues was a prime example in the 70s. You know, make sure you find out where the condom went.
That's right.
In the back of the shaggin' wagon, hold on for dear life.
Yeah, that's right. But you also, I mean, puberty blues had for a great sort of look at, I guess, the different sides of that in women as well. Like you've got this idea of boys can have sex, girls, you know, can't, they're dirty. But then in the puberty blues story, the girls that are having sex, the popular girls, the surfy girls, the Green Hills gang or whatever it is, that it's actually all right that they're having sex because they're the popular girls and they're cute and they're, you know. Then you've got, I think it's Fran, who is doing all the same things that these other girls are doing, but she's labelled as this slut and a whore, and they gang rape her pretty much, leave her in gutters, all this stuff, and she keeps going back because that's, you know, she's trying to get the acceptance and all this sort of stuff. She's doing exactly the same as the other girls, and the other girls who are doing this are calling her a mole and a slut and a whore, and it's this...
Is this like hashtag slut shaming?
Yeah, it is absolutely hashtag slut shaming, but it's hashtag slut shaming by people who are doing exactly the same thing that you are doing.
But something you said at the launch stuck with me, and I just want to jump in here for a second, because you said that our rhetoric, our story of sexuality and sex has an overlaying shame to it.
It really does.
And that really struck me, and I'd just like to hear
what it comes to with you know, what Sammy said about, you know, the girls being losing their virginity, being deflowered, giving a gift. It's all these things that you sort of are providing to somebody else, nothing about what you are giving or providing for yourself or indulging in yourself. And shame is a huge part of that. You are supposed to feel ashamed of your nudity without anything to do with sex. I mean, just the term Rudy Nudie, which we all say to our kids, oh, running around Rudy Nudie. When you actually think about what that is saying, it is your naked body is obscene.
Yeah.
And it's not. And so we start this from this age of kids running around without their nappy on for the first time. Oh, Rudy Nudie. And the sort of ingrained kind of levels that it comes through all the way up to she was wearing a short skirt, that's why she was raped. I mean, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
And people can't, a lot of people can't see that linear, you know, because there's so many steps and so many levels that take it from Rudy Nudie with your bum out running down the hallway to blaming someone for being attacked. But, you know, the shame of nudity is immense, and for women it's even more so than men. You know, we can't go topless. Female nipples are disgusting. All this sort of stuff.
Well, a male nipple can be displayed on Facebook.
Yes.
And a female nipple cannot. A male nipple can be pierced to display an advertisement for a piercing company.
But a female nipple cannot.
Which I think aesthetically
really
it actually looks pretty.
Think about it.
Yeah.
The breast part, the tissue, the swollen lump on the chest is the only difference. So that really, to me, should be the, you know, when I was looking at the, you know, where the pasties on the burlesque shows to cover up the nipples, I'm like, really? The nipples, just everyone's got a nipple. Surely they should be wearing, you know, like the things with just the nipples showing.
Because
the nipples are just the same. Yeah, yeah. Like
I would actually find it quite interesting whether I could actually walk down the street topless.
Well, I've had a friend who was
post-mastectomy with scars, like looking, you know, now with, you know, fake nails and, you know, God forbid, a little bit femmy, whether I would actually get in trouble.
Well, I've got a friend who was transitioning female to male. And he was saying, you know, when do my breasts and my chest, when does that become acceptable? When am I suddenly okay to be topless on Facebook when I wasn't here because people thought, you know, identified me as female. And as I'm transitioning to male, where does my chest suddenly not become obscene?
When it's top surgery.
Yeah, yeah. It's
just post-top surgery
ridiculous.
Usually yeah. Is the case, and it's removal.
I mean,
of the tissue.
I know where, but that's more of a.
Oh, it's the moral place.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, I think that it comes down to that, you know, like it is about like what we were initially getting into is about the shame that gets put continually gets put into women's bodies. And one thing that I want to talk about after we listen to some more community announcements before, because I mean, like, we're getting closer and closer to the end, is something else that I love the fact that you've got into, which is not talked about enough, is consent.
Yeah.
And the thing is that we have so much we hear about sex parties for teenagers, and it scares me having a teenager. And there is so many of these things now, and where does consent start? Where does consent stop? And it's something that you do actually make a very big part of in your book, about saying no and the importance of saying no. And, you know, for young women to be empowered about how important saying no is.
Mm.
You are on Joy 94.9.
Joy's 2017 Radiothon is on now, and we need your support. Become a member or renew your membership and go in the draw to win
our major prize, a Holden Astra RS 6-speed auto hatchback valued at over $27,000. Thanks to Holden, let's go there. Or one of two runner-up prizes,
a MotoGP 2017 VIP experience, including a helicopter flight for two to the MotoGP at Phillip Island, with entry to the VIP hospitality lounge hosted by Mick Doohan.
Or a Midsummer Festival 2018 VIP package, including VIP invites, passes to the 2018 festival, and more. That's all thanks to Midsummer Festival.
Sign up or renew your membership before June 30 for a chance to win.
We still need Joy, and Joy still needs you.
Your voice, your radio station.
Head to joy.org.au now.
Hey, I'm Ruby Rose, and you're with Sammy on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are on a Joy 94.9, and I am lucky enough to have just been handed a copy of A Teen Girl's Guide to Getting Off, signed by the author. So the first lucky Joy member to either SMS in on 0427 Joy 949, to email in onair@joy.org.au or phone 1300-JOY-949 with your current paid-up membership number, you will receive a copy of this wonderful book for yourself to have for your very own, signed by the author as a special gift from the publisher, LaBouche Books. Thank you so much, KL.
It's my absolute pleasure. The story of this book has to get out there, and if we have to give copies away, I'm very happy to do that.
You can also go and visit LaBouche Books on Facebook, and also at your website,
labouchebooks.com.
And you can also go and visit labouchebooks.com and visit there. And while you're there, go and check out some of KL's very amazing, sexy, erotic fiction.
Sexy.
Can I just say, pretty amazing. Now, while we have been chatting, and we have been doing lots and lots of chatting, we have got some more messages in. We have got a message in that says, so awesome to hear you back on the radio, beautiful, and interviewing two amazing ladies. Now, looking at that mobile number, that appears to be from my beautiful wife.
Hi.
Mama D, you are all over it. Great tune too. That appears to be from our leather sister. The gorgeous Ange. Andrea from Coburg says, hi, Sammy. You have no idea how pleasant a surprise it was hearing the intro from The Wet Spot. All my Joy 94.9 dreams came true, the return of Wet Spot. The both of you are right. Puberty is one of the most complicated times in a person's life. As simple or confusing it is for each individual, it is all so different. It is far more confusing when you have an intersex variant that becomes prominent as puberty starts. A book like this would have been invaluable to understand how to fit in and normalize my behavior and to hide my traits. Fabulous show. Thank you, Andrea. As wonderful as always to hear from you. And we have a winner. Andrea has won the book.
Yay.
She's the first person in.
Well done, Andrea.
And Sonia says, love having you back on air. It's really lovely to see Sonia too. Now, there's one thing that I want to do. I don't want to be remiss before we leave today is I want to thank you so much, Andrew Thorpe, for being my panel operator today. Now, not many people know, but I'm going to just tote his horn just for a second. When I first came to Andrew was my program manager when I when the wet spot was first contrived. And I first came to Andrew with this wild and wicked idea that I wanted to do a female version of the wet, of the hide and seek. And I went, I want to be as down and dirty and wild as hide and seek. And anyone else would have went, yeah, right. Andrew was like, if anyone can do it, I'm the one crazy enough to do it. And he pushed for me to do it. And here we are.
That's so excellent.
And when Tennille said, I want you to come and do the show, and said, we need someone to panel, he was the first person to go, I'll do it. So, yes, no, thank you so much, Andrew, for being in the studio. And he's not many people can push my buttons.
But he does it so beautifully.
I know. If I'm going to fill hide and seek's hole.
Yep, he's going to push your buttons.
He's going to push my buttons. It's not very often Andrew Thorpe's going to push a dyke's buttons. I can just say.
And there's that famous down and dirty humour that we miss so much on Monday nights.
I know.
What is it, Moist Monday?
No, it's Wild, Wet and Wicked Wednesdays. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely is. Andrea is very, very excited to hear. So, Andrea, that book will be available for you to pick up within the next week here at Joy 94.9. Now, so, Eva, this must be for you a great relief and culmination for you to actually see this finally in front of you and at print and to realise that, like, with all this time of Kale going to, I want to do this, I'm going to do this, and then all of a sudden for her to just go, it's done.
Yeah, look.
All of a sudden after 12 months, yes.
I hate the word journey. I hate it. But this has been...
That is so lesbian of you.
Sorry
to all of my darling same-sex attracted women who identify as lesbian out there. You, all of you who know me, know how much I love the word lesbian and how much I love lesbians. Andrew's putting his hand over his eyes going, we've just lost 3,000 listeners.
It was a journey.
It was a journey, wasn't it?
It was huge because, I mean, I started it maybe 5 or so years ago.
Yep.
Sort of came up with the idea and started kind of scribbling it down. I was at uni at the time. I was studying writing, so I had all the resources. I had all the everything to do it. And I'm an incredibly lazy person. And so in sort of 2 years of
I didn't mean to laugh there, darling.
You know, someone, just, well,
can I share with the listeners what I actually received 12 months ago? Can I share that with the listeners?
Sure.
Okay, so I received a Word document, unformatted.
Yeah.
All different fonts.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Because it was written in places and then copy-pasted into itself.
And yet I could see in that raw piece of coal an amazing, brilliant diamond.
Well, because you said, send me something. And I said, well, it's all in bits. I don't care. Just put it together. So you can't...
So there you go.
So I put it together. And, yeah, look, it's very different from what it started. I mean, the theme is the same. The idea of a sex education book based on pleasure was sort of always the idea.
Mm.
But it grew into this sort of very personal story as well. There's lots of, you know, anecdotes about my own experiences. I think, you know, rereading it, as I've been sort of rereading it since it's been in my hands, I'm like, oh, I should have talked about that. Oh, could have. There's a great story to fit here, you know, and so
second edition coming in a little while. Yeah,
but I think the great thing is you've been able to pack it full of so much information, and as we've gone through it through the launch and different interviews, that it has shown you that there are other resources that are available, and other ways that you and LaBouche Books can work together.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank both of you for coming in tonight. And I can't have thought of two more amazing women to spend my first, hopefully, show back here on Joy 94.9 and to be able to celebrate International Women's Day 2017. Be bold for change here on Joy 94.9 and be here in the studio with me. Just before we finish up the show tonight, I just want to be able to say that Joy 94.9 has always been an amazing place for me. And the reason I haven't been around here and on air is for the last couple of years I've been battling stage 3 breast cancer. And it has been a very long, hard road. I've been through chemotherapy, double mastectomy, radiation, and several other surgeries. And I'm still in quite a lot of treatment and medications. So I am hoping to be a semi-regular figure, hopefully, around the station with the help of our amazing JoyPack manager and our amazing program managers and general manager who's been an amazing support to me, and also be able to do some work with our general manager on some women's engagement here at Joy, who has always been a personal goal of mine to keep women working here through Joy. So I just want, on International Women's Day, for everyone to remember that it's more than just being bold for change. It's about Joy 94.9 is here as a safe space for women. It's a safe space for everybody. It doesn't matter how you identify. The wet spot is always here for people to be here to understand. And no matter how you identify, it's always for women who love to fuck women here on Joy 94.9.
Connecting, representing, celebrating Joy 94.9.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to another Joy Podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.